We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Roto Grinders today. I'm Jordan Cooper, a.k.a. Blender Ed, Blender HD. You're going to follow me on Twitter. What is it, Devin? Where are you going? You get popped in, pop out, right in the middle of the intro? What's going on? Right, this is what happens when Steve's off. Devin doesn't forgets how to produce shows. Just shows up. Hey, I'm here. I'm gone. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Maybe we'll see him later. But welcome to the show. It's Wednesday, April 24th. We'll be taking a look at the seven-game MLB slate tonight on DraftKings, as well as FanDuel. We got other games during the day as well, so we have some props, some pick 'em. Hit that thumbs up button as usual. First thing in the door, I'll shake my thumbs at you. You know how much I like the thummy thumbs. Hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell to always know when we go live. Remember, we got Grinders Live, Crunch Time later today. They'll be going in much more deeper dive into tonight's slate, being that it's only 11 in the morning. We'll be taking a look at Lineup HQ. We'll be taking a look at Sim Labs. We'll be taking a look at the stack projections from the back. We'll be taking a look at everything. And join with me, first time. I mean, Taylor, you've been here at Roto Grinders, I think, longer than I have, and I don't think we've ever done a show together.
No. Welcome. Yeah.
Yeah. They forced you to wake up early in the morning to do this.
It is a little early. It is 8:02 a.m. But happy to be here. Yeah, I'm excited. I was a Theory of DFS purchaser and listener, so yeah, glad to be on with you.
Well, thanks for purchasing the course. Apparently, Devin's saying you didn't think you were here. You thought it was my problem.
I jumped in thinking, oh my gosh, everything's crashing and burning, and then about 2 seconds after I hit the button to bring myself onto the show, I said, oh wait, no, that's on my side. So. Carry on.
A lot of times people tell me that I do the good morning and then I clip out on YouTube.
That's what sometimes. It was. It froze in the middle of you saying that. It went good.
So it basically was my fault.
It might have been. But looking at my other programs, it looked like everything was still running. So I think it was just these wireless ones.
I got to do the thing like professional singers do. And when I do that, like back away from the microphone. You know, whenever they moved it, like I got a good.
You also, we're gonna have to get you one of the cans so you can hit it on the sides. So you're like listening to yourself, you know.
No, I got the in ear monitors. I want the in ear. I want.
Oh,
the,
okay,
I want
the you're little, professional.
You know, the Britney Spears thing, mm-hmm. And I'll go do my dance routine, right?
Roth will tell you that's an IFB earpiece.
Yes, you're right. I actually do have an IFB. It just doesn't work very well, so I don't use it. Taylor's just sitting here going, "I'm on." You're on Pacific time. You're like, I woke up this early. but this crap.
It's a good wake up. Good way to wake up, no doubt.
Hopefully you brought your coffee.
Yes.
Chugged it beforehand.
Okie doke. So we got a 7-game slate tonight. We got, yeah, I mean, Taylor, you do a lot of baseball content here. A lot of, you know, a bit of everything. Tabo Jangles on Twitter. I'm assuming that's I'm assuming that's because you like their chicken.
I've actually never had it. They did announce that they're building them out here for the first time pretty soon. So I will have to partake and see what it's all about. But yeah, I've actually never had it, sadly, but heard good things.
I'd say that their probably best thing is probably their curly fries. So if you're going to get any, I don't know. That. I'm not a chicken person. It doesn't, I don't really go to chicken places or anything like that. Game of chicken tonight. Yesterday we saw that Pablo Lopez, the White Sox actually managed to hit the ball, and Pablo Lopez was 50%+ owned. I mean, he put up a score, but I mean, he wasn't Max Fried last night, but we're getting the White Sox on this slate. We're getting the A's on this slate. Is there any compelling reason why we shouldn't just be just jamming in Joe Ryan at 10-4 and Clark Schmidt at 8.9K? Because like these are the matchups where you could practically stream pitchers against.
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating. Like I've been kind of chasing the White Sox in tournaments the last few days, like against Paddock the other night. I had plenty of him, but I was also stacking them quite a bit because it's Paddock and his numbers weren't great either. And of course, he has like the best game he's had in 5 years. But and then Lopez last night comes out and gives up that home run to Eloy and didn't really have it. So yeah, tonight is kind of the same thing with Ryan. He's priced pitcher on the slate. He's priced accordingly. Matchup's phenomenal. I think the reason to get away from them is that we do have a couple of cheaper guys, Crochet and Gray specifically, in decent enough matchups of their own that I think it's interesting, but overall, it's a pretty gross pitching slate. You can't really go below 8K and feel good about anything. I do expect Ryan and Schmidt to kind of be overwhelmingly chalky, but Crochet could also garner some attention.
Well, I want to point out, I mean, when we play GPPs, I tend to side, if the more that I spend my money, I tend to side more on guys that could go long. Like, it's still early in the season. Not a lot of pitchers are pitching 100 pitches. I mean, on this slate, Joe Ryan is kind of that guy. And Clark Schmidt, I mean, the bat has him at an 87 pitch count. I'm assuming maybe across the industry, maybe a little bit higher. He pitched over 100 last game, but I think he was working on like a no-hitter or something close to that. I'm always concerned. I mean, as someone that, like, if Clark Schmidt's spot in the rotation is there, I have his unders, like, all the time. If I had to choose between the two chalk, I mean, these are going to be the two chalky pitchers because it kind of, the bottom half of pitching today is ugly. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure you need to, you know, go double cheap at pitcher. Right. And I mean, even the Coors game, like it's a reasonable way to stack. I know I'm making the case for Joe Ryan over Clark Schmidt, but you know, Clark Schmidt, he walks three guys, he gets guys on base. Next thing you know, it's the fourth inning and he's already at like 82 pitches. I feel Oakland. Much more comfortable with Joe Ryan than I do with Clark
Schmidt. Yeah. I feel like Oakland, obviously, they're not great, but I do feel like they're a bit underrated. At least they get a park upgrade here. It's not a horrible lineup. They have quite a few lefties they can throw at them. Obviously, that park is really good for lefty power in particular. Schmidt, I don't think, has the same upside that Ryan does, pitch count or strikeout-wise. I think it's easier to see things going wrong for him, so I agree that Ryan should be the clear SP1 over him. I think the price might make the ownership a little closer than it otherwise would have been just because Schmidt is under 9K. And, you know, with that much pitching, there's decent hitting to pay up for. Crochet is the one that really stands out to me as intriguing, though. Like, I'm not sure if projection systems have caught up to him yet, just because this is his first season as a starter. But the numbers are really good. Pretty much everything except the ERA is excellent. His strand rate is like under 60%. So he's kind of had some bad luck with allowing timely hits with guys on base. But if anyone's going to be popular below those two top guys, Crochet is kind of the one that might be intriguing, because projections, they're not great. Like, he's at 15 there in the bat ish, but you know, Minnesota strikes out a ton. We saw Eric Fetty kind of mow them down last night. There's upside to be had. And if anyone's going to be topping Schmidt or Ryan, it's probably him in terms of raw score.
How about John Gray? I mean, he's kind of Jekyll and Hyde. Like, I feel like you roster John Gray, you either get like six innings, nine strikeouts, or he's dead in 5 outs. Like he's coming out of the game in the second inning.
It's kind of like Dane Dunning last night, like just kind of over the years, he's been better against righties and lefties that kind of gotten to him. Seattle has quite a few lefties they can throw at him, but it's also a pretty high strikeout offense, and Gray's not really expensive either. So I think those four are the guys that you can kind of build around, but you know, I don't think you're getting low ownership on any of them, just because after that, the slate thins out quite a bit. So I don't feel good about Gray, but I do see why he's kind of projecting decently for the dollar.
Danny Chen in chat is asking about Taillon. To me, I mean, he's facing Houston, who failed me yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a good matchup, but I mean, and also Taillon never, I don't know about you. How many strikeouts does this guy get? I mean, like, it just feels like he typically gets around 4 or 5 strikeouts, tends to limit damage. But I feel like he's the type of pitcher that he's on the winning lineup if like other people get blown up, not because he put up like the largest score on the slate.
Yeah, and he's only pitched once. His last game was his first of the season. He threw 73 pitches, so not sure how far beyond 80 he's going to go, maybe 80 to 85. And like you said, Houston, not a good matchup, not a lot of strikeouts in the lineup. You know, I guess he's viable just because nobody below him really is, but I think I would just prefer to take a shot on Rodriguez even for 500 more, just because he's kind of shown something. Obviously, small sample with him, but Taillon just feels a little bit thin even for this slate. Like you said, like, the strikeout stuff's never really there. He's pretty average across the board, so I don't know. I don't really see the need.
Rodriguez actually in SimLabs, if we take a look just right here on the late slate, because the initial, I mean, this is obviously initial stuff. I mean, we don't have starting lineups in and ownership will change, but Yariel Rodriguez is the most under-owned pitcher compared to optimal rate on the slate. And obviously Schmidt and Ryan are the most over-owned. I mean, because they're going to be super, super chalky. But SimLabs basically says that Yariel Rodriguez has as much of a chance of being optimal as both Clark Schmidt and Joe Ryan, regardless of salary. So I know it's a small sample size, but do you think on this slate, from a field perspective, do you think that people will take, if they're going to take a, it feels like to me that if people aren't going to go with like one of Ryan or Schmidt, they're much more likely to take Crochet against the Twins than Rodriguez against the Royals. So I wouldn't be shocked if Rodriguez, you know, the bat has him at 11% ownership, but I wouldn't be shocked if he came in around 10% when he probably, and Crochet comes in twice his own when maybe they should be closer in ownership.
Yeah, I think we've been talking about Crochet a little longer. Obviously, Rodriguez has only made 2 starts, and Crochet has been kind of a trendy guy since his opening day outing where he kind of dominated and no one was really expecting it, especially from a pitch count perspective. So, yeah, it's kind of tough to peg the ownership early. I would think Crochet would be significantly more popular just because the price isn't that different. The matchup, you know, people just saw the Twins get dominated last night by some, you know, also-ran type. So Crochet actually has kind of got some name value at this point. Rodriguez certainly doesn't. He's also been limited. He threw 83 in his last game. That was the most he threw, you know, between the two starts, 68 in his first game. He's been awesome, but he's a 27-year-old that's in the majors, I think, for the first time. So it's kind of a small sample, just hoping for the best type of thing. I'm also not sure if people are really keen on picking on Kansas City at this point, just because they've been quite good offensively all season. I do think he's a good play, though, just because, like we've been saying, below that, there's really nothing you can do at all. So he could be under 10% owned, perhaps, just because ownership should be pretty concentrated, I would think, at pitching tonight.
The one guy that stands out to me that I'm interested, that I just get a sense that he's not going to come in at 22% owned, according to the bat projections, is Reynaldo Lopez at 9,200. This is a guy, if you've been playing DFS for a while, this is a guy we used to stack against. Like, oh, it's his Reynaldo Lopez's spot in the order. Who is he facing? We got to stack against him. And now he's facing Miami. That's a great matchup, right? I get the sense that people that, unless you're new to DFS, I mean, people just $9,200 Reynaldo Lopez. I mean, you'd take shots on him when he's like 5,700 and be like, yeah, he may walk five guys, but maybe he could strike out seven and hopefully he doesn't give up a bomb. He's actually looked pretty good. I just don't think people, I mean, 22%, I feel with the biases. I feel so much more comfortable with Gray or Crochet or even Taillon, even taking a shot in Rodriguez because he's 1,200 cheaper. Even Bryce Miller, I mean, he projects lower than Reynaldo Lopez. Bad matchup against Texas. I get the sense. I mean, Simlabs obviously has him at the third most over-owned pitcher, but that's based on the fact that we're expecting around 20% ownership. It feels like to me, I don't want to play him at 20% ownership, but if you tell me he comes in at sub 10%, there's no reason why he can't score more points than anyone else on the slate.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be as owned as he's pegged right now, just because Schmidt's cheaper, Ryan's not really that much more expensive. I certainly don't think Miller's going to be owned either. I would side with Lopez, just pure matchup thing. Like, I don't really want to pick on Texas if I can avoid it. And, you know, Miller's been really good, but his numbers are a little bit inflated. I think his ERA is like under two. You can probably say the same thing about Lopez, but again, it's Miami, he's at home. He's shown something. He's only allowed one run all season long, obviously unsustainable, but yeah, among pitchers on this slate with legitimate upside, he seems to be one of the few that has it. It's hard to trust just because he has been so mediocre for so long and he's been a reliever like the last few years, but 94 pitches in each of his last two games, there seems to be some ceiling there. I think Ryan Schmidt / Crochet is going to be very popular as a build. So I don't think Lopez, by default, I assume he's going to be pretty under-owned. Maybe that'll adjust as the day goes on, but I think I'm with you. I think he's kind of interesting if he's going to be low on, but if he's going to be owned by a fifth field, then yeah, I'm not really on board.
I would someone like Spencer Arrighetti. I mean, he's the 6,500. I mean, the bat projects him okay.
Yeah,
I don't think you need to go to 6,500, and I don't think I'm interested in a pitcher against the Cubs that probably can't go six in. I mean, probably doesn't pitch six. I mean, I don't see him pitching six in. It's hard for him to pitch five innings. So like, like one mistake, like he gives up three runs in one inning. It's like you just close your laptop because He's not someone that's going to strike out like eight guys efficiently in four innings or something. But I mean, we have him. The bat has him at least a 10% ownership. I mean, even if you told me he'd be 5% owned, I'm not even sure that I would want to play him anyway.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be that owned either. I don't think people really like to take pitchers against Chicago to begin with. So he hasn't shown anything. He's allegedly some kind of prospect, but I think they're. System is pretty bad, so he's like the best of that bad system. It's just because he's cheap. Maybe people take the flyer and they want to stack Coors and they want to stack the Braves or whoever, but I really don't think it's necessary. I think Gray and Rodriguez, that's probably as cheap as I'm willing to go tonight. Otherwise, it just kind of feels like getting too cute. Like people have been playing the Coors pitchers the last few days against the Rockies for San Diego, but Waldron's not. Michael King or Dylan Cease. I can't imagine he's going to be getting much ownership. I don't know. I feel like people don't really prefer to take cheap pitchers in general, unless it's like the 4K Albert Suarez thing from the other night. So I don't know. I don't think Arrigetti is going to be very owned, and I don't think he should be either. Do we have, is there any kind of wind there tonight? Do we know yet?
Let's see. I mean, the total isn't high, so. So I'm assuming yeah. not, right? I mean, our weather report, really doesn't have anything other than the Yankees. Slight bump. Winds are blowing out to right in New York. But Danny Chen is getting a little too cutesy, like you said. Which games would you rather take? Relief pitchers? I mean, I guess the only valid thing for that would be like if you're playing showdown in that game. Unless it's just a question of like what starters not to play. Like, dude, it's a 7-game slate. You're not playing relief pitchers in classic formats, like, ever. Like, if you just never considered it, like, you'd probably be better off, right? If it's a 2-game slate with two totals of 11 and the starters are bad, I mean, sure, or a showdown or something, but there's no games I'd rather. If you gave me the choice to play tie block at 5K or any relief pitcher, I'm still taking Ty Block because one, he's guaranteed to pitch, and two, if he pitches 5 innings and actually does well, you could score points. But I mean, you're going to take a guy that at best gets 3 strikeouts. I mean, like 4 strikeouts, or I don't know. I don't even know why we're talking about it, but I just want to kind of, people ask the questions in the chat and I'm very blunt. I mean, I answer that question as nicely as I possibly could.
That's way too cute. Like, it's not a 2-game slate either, like where you have to try to get way off the board just to try to get an edge. It's 7 games. There's enough going on. Like, there are enough pitchers to where you can get different enough without going that overboard. So that just seems a little silly on this slate.
Devin's producing. He's sitting back going, well, I've been here for 5 years. I was very measured. Devin, very measured, right? I've learned to be much nicer. Said, what are you, an idiot? I mean, like, I would have literally said, what are you doing?
That was a tongue held for all the viewers.
Well, that's why if I was giving the benefit of the doubt of like maybe this person is playing showdown. And you're playing if you're playing the Colorado showdown, then you may not want to play either of the starting pitchers and be like, oh, I'd much rather play a relief pitcher than either of the. Okay, that seems kind of valid. I don't think
the smaller the slate, the weirder you got to get.
Yes.
Let's touch on DFS Degenerate's question. I think that's a good one.
Yeah, we'll get the Sim Labs. We'll move over to Stacks. Jeffrey Battaglia asked about the early slate. It's a 3-game slate. Would you go against Snell on the early slate using Mets and GPP with one entry? Taylor, I'll send it over to you in a second, but my general default heuristic is that people do it the other way. I only have one entry. I can't afford to like stack against a 70% owned pitcher. Like, your attitude should be the opposite of that. It should be, you only have one entry, so why not go for first? It's when you have 150 entries that if I do that in all my entries and I'm wrong, I lose all of my money out of 150 entries. You don't get anything back. So there's some amount of risk mitigation when you're playing more entries. But when you're playing one entry, like on small slates, like yeah, everyone's going to play this, especially in DraftKings with two pitchers. Everyone's going to, like, it's going to be two 60, 70% owned pitchers. And then, like, two, like, there's going to be some, like, 30-plus percent owned hitters. And I'm like, I'm just going to reverse that. I'm just going to go, I'll play the pitcher against that stack. And then a four-man stack, three-man stack against the chalk pitcher and be like, if there's chaos, I could win first. And if there's no chaos, it was, like, it was $20. Like, oh, well, like that's the way it is.
Yeah, like you're probably going to lose anyway. So you might as well lose with a shot at first instead of, you know, if you win, you're tying with everyone else that's playing Snell and stacking the Orioles or whoever is the chalk offense on the early slate. So I think you go for broke. Like, you know, if the risk is all the same, you might as well just play against the guy that's going to be 70% owned, especially Blake Snell, who we've seen is not exactly reliable, especially this season so far. Like, there's a lot more upside in playing against Snell than there is in playing Snell and whoever everyone's going to play Snell with. So, yeah, like, that's not too risky at all. Like, that's the only way to play, I think.
I felt like your response was much meaner than my previous response. You literally started out with, you're probably going to lose anyway.
Yeah, well, there's no need to be too nice. Like, we can't both be too nice. Might as well. It's reality.
Like, I don't know if you were just calling out the specific person. It's like, oh, yeah, I see. Oh, no. You're probably going to lose anyway.
That was a royal you. Like, we're all probably going to lose. So you lose. Going swing, trying to take it all down. Because it, you know, if it hits, you're going to win it all. No one else is going to be on the same lineup you're on. Although the field has gotten sharper, like stacking against the obvious SP1 has become a more popular strategy than it was a handful of years ago, obviously. But yeah, I'm still inclined to say if a guy's going to be 68% owned, which is what we have him at now, stacking against him is certainly the way to go. And I'm looking at the lineup HQ early slate. No one's tagged Snell. All the experts have tagged Kyle Gibson and Dean Kramer, for example. So I think going against Snell might be a bit more popular than the ownership projections indicate, just because it doesn't look like anyone is advocating for Snell, even though he does project better than everybody else.
Let's take a look at bats for tonight. We've got seven games. I'm gonna assume, I mean, just on a first look, I mean, if you just really just look at the team totals, I mean, you got the Padres at 6.3, Rockies at 5.2. And then after that, it's kind of like the Braves at 5.45, the Yankees at 5.17. And then, I mean, like the Twins White Sox game, I mean, the over under is 6.5. I mean, that's very low for a baseball game. I'll let you talk about the stacks, but if I had to build the lineup right now, I would be playing the Toronto Blue Jays. But Taylor, to you.
Oh, God. Unfortunately, I was going to say the exact same thing. I played them last night, and I got what I always get when I stack the Blue Jays, which is like two runs and a zero from Vlad. So I'm fully prepared for the same thing tonight.
But the thing about the Blue Jays now is like you take a look, and it's like George Springer, 4,100, Vlad, 4,600, yeah. Bobichette, 4,400, Turner, 42, Varsho, 35, David Schneider fills a second base spot, 39, like even Biggio down here. You can play IKF in a stack at least. It just feels like they're facing Alec Marsh. It's not like, dude, it's pretty much a contact pitcher.
Yeah, we talked about every pitcher essentially except for him.
They should be better than what they've been doing.
Yeah, we've been saying that for years, so it feels like they're due for a breakup, but maybe they're just who they are at this point. But we've seen them be good in the past, so it's reasonable to assume they can be good again. And Marsh, like you said, he's not striking anyone out, especially lefties. I don't know. I can't stand stacking the Blue Jays, but it appears as though I'm going to do that again today. They are underpriced.
Do you think that they're going to be disowned? I mean, the RG projections, we could see them on the screen on our starting lineups page. 14, 12, 19, 16, 16, 15 for Danny Jansen. I mean, I almost want to take back what I just said. It's like at these levels, I mean, they feel like, I mean, looking around on I mean, it's a price thing, right? It's a 4.5 total. So it's not like you're playing the White Sox. It's not like you're playing the Twins. Or I mean, they have a better total than both the Astros and the Cubs today, who are, you know, objectively probably better teams. The Yankees have a higher total, but obviously, you know, you're paying $6K for some of these guys. The Braves, I mean, obviously are playable, but I mean, stacking the Braves means you're playing Spencer Arrighetti and you're doing, you know, double cheap pitcher or something. And the Padres are reasonable enough. I mean, like the Padres was a 6.3 total. I mean, Tatis is 61 and Bogarts is 5K. But none of these guys really break the bank. I mean, Yugi Rosario will probably be in against the lefty. So at third base, you know, fitting him in for 3,100. And then, I mean, you could play him, Camposano at 39, you know, Profar. I mean, the Padres are affordable and they have by far the highest team total. I just get the sense that the Padres will still be way more owned than the Blue Jays, even though the ownership makes it seem like there would be if this was the actual ownership, I'd just rather play the Padres. I just like the Padres are on their own. I don't care what these numbers say. Like they probably should be 20%.
Yeah, I do think the Padres will be a lot more popular than the Blue Jays will be. It's curious. I'm trying to figure out who will be the second highest owned stack. Because if it is Toronto, I agree that I don't want to be there. Colorado could get some ownership, which is not a good thing either. they're facing Waldron, the knuckleballer, who is probably not very good, but obviously it's the Rockies. They're also not that cheap. Like Tovar, McMahon, Jones, and Blackman are all 4.7 or above on DK. I don't know. Like, I don't think the Yankees will be that owned. I don't think the Braves will be just because of salary. I don't think Houston's going to be very popular. Kansas City, probably not against Rodriguez. Minnesota, I don't think so, against Crochet. Yeah, it might be the Blue Jays is kind of by default, because if projections are taking you there, people are probably just going to follow that. I think a stack that could go a little under-owned is Texas. The bat in particular is not a fan of Bryce Miller for Seattle. They think he's overrated. He's kind of a fly ball guy that's been getting by on fly balls that are not flying out of the ballpark. His barrel rate's pretty high. Texas is getting a little ownership, it looks like, right now. Seager, Nathaniel Lowe, and Evan Carter all over 10% on DK right now for the RG projections. But for a relatively small slate, I don't think that's a bad thing. All things considered, this might be the team I wind up with. I'll probably wind up with most San Diego and just, you know, hope they do something on this slate. Texas, though, I think could be intriguing if they're going to be contrarian, since there's really no clear-cut number two stack that should be extremely popular, it looks like.
Right. We take a look. We go over to SimLabs. I'm going to run 150 lineups, because you could run up to 150 lineups. This is for premium members. So you could sign up to Roto Grinders. I use this to, I build my MLB DFS line. I build my NFL. I build all of my lineups that this is available for, my pools from this tool, because this tool will not give you bad lineups. That's a better way of thinking mentally about this. It's not like Lineup HQ, where like, do I want this? Do I want that? Like Lineup HQ is an optimizer. So it's just basically a knapsack problem solver. So whatever restraints you want to put in, you can put in whatever you want. It doesn't mean that the lineups are plus EV. It just means that your heuristics, like you're going to play five-man stacks. You're going to play no more than this amount of ownership. And this type, like those are just very blunt heuristics. Well, SimLabs simulates the contest and says, here are the lineups based on our data, right? Our ownership, the dummy lineups that the field is going to be playing. And this is how they rate out. And from a profit perspective, but also from a variance perspective. So most of the, like all of the things that you could do in SimLabs, you're adjusting for variance, or you're adjusting on how you want the numbers to rate based on whatever weighting that you prefer more than anything else. But at the end of the day, just always consider the fact that SimLabs is not going to give you bad lineups. On this 7-game slate, there might be 5,000 plus EV lineups, and they will all look differently. There will be a plus EV lineup with the Twins, as well as a lineup with Crochet against the Twins. Like, because there's two different outcomes. If Crochet has a good game, then how often does that happen? Well, that lineup tends to do well. Well, maybe 8% of the time it gets blown up. Well, then that lineup wins, right? So it's all different scenarios. The only thing that you're going to be adjusting for is how you want the SimLabs rating to rank your lineups. If you value one thing over the other, then it'll weight it higher, right? So it'll give you more of those types of lineups, just in the same way that if you go in and say, I don't want to play, you know, I want to exclude this team, I want to exclude this pitcher, I want to, you know, whatever you want. It's like, okay. Like, there are lineups that, like, there are lineups where Ty Block is, and that lineup is a plus EV. Probably a very contrarian lineup. It probably doesn't catch that often, but it gives enough of a return that that's worthy of playing. There just may not be as many of those lineups. So I'm going to put in, you know, small field, typically 1,000 to 5,000 entries. Single entries, kind of like under 1,000, and large field is like 10,000 plus. You know, you could, the results range here means like how, do you want to focus on the best of the best lineups with the best players? You're going to get much more chalky lineups with a very low result range. And the high results range means a much more wide diversity of lineups. So if you're only playing like 1 to 3 lineups, it's quite possible that, you know, I just want to see the top 15% of the results. I don't care that much about diversity. And show me a bunch of lineups. I'll pick 3 of them. And they may look similar to each other. But if you're looking to diversify more, you want more of a results range. I want to see where, you know, there are some lineups that only have 3-man stacks, 2-man stacks, everything like that. There's also an option here that if you just want to have only 5-man stacks, it will just show you 5-man stacks. So I'm going to put that in. I'm going to put medium results range. There's no correct settings to this. There's literally no correct settings. You have to put a notepad, put a little thing. Said there's literally no correct settings to this. If you banged your head against the keyboard for any of these settings and you press generate lineups, the lineups that come out will be as good as the lineups that I make right now. If you just close your computer down and then bang your head in a different direction. Now all the numbers are different. Now, oh, I want to wait this, and then you pressed it. Those lineups are just as good as the other set of lineups that you make. It's just a matter of which ones do you want to choose and what is the variance of those lineups? Okay. So here we go. So I'm going to do this. Now, one thing that I do, because I also use the bat. Remember, this is all the RotoGrinders data. This is not the bat data in here. But I'm going to also use the bat projections to eliminate lineups. So I typically put my projection weight at 0. Because I'm not factoring the median mean projection of a lineup at all, because I'm going to just see what I want to know highly what the simulations of the games are. I don't care that much about upside because that's the projection, right? I've already put in that I want 5-man stack. So I'm forcing that heuristic in. So maybe I don't want to wait. I don't care about the correlation's already in the goddamn lineup. Right? So don't give me any of that weight. Right? Right? This is the extreme version of using this tool. Like an ownership weight. You know, I want lineups that are more optimal than others. Right? I don't necessarily want, you know, the lowest owned lineups. But the projection I don't care about. Right? I care more about the simulation. Right? But I mean, I want more optimal rate players in my lineups. Right? And you could do whatever you want. I mean, there's no correct settings. So I'm going to run this. It takes almost no time, right? 150 lineups. And obviously, you know, the timestamp, the latest Sims update is 10:28 in the morning. Obviously, if, you know, David Schneider isn't in the Blue Jays lineup, I mean, the Sims don't matter. I mean, like, you run this like a half an hour before the slate locks, right? So then you go through. It's like, okay, here's 150 lineups. And all these bars are just showing you what is the weighting in your SimLab rating, right? Projection, ownership, top 100, in the money, and the sim weighting, right? So obviously, if you go, it's like, oh, well, I want to be in the top 100, right? Like, if you're playing GPPs, I think that may be one of the more important metrics. That, you know, I don't care about the variance. I just care about winning. You can see the variance here. It's like take a look. When you see the top 100 being very high, like, take a look at this lineup right here with the Clark Schmidt, Uriel Rodriguez, the Rangers stack, and 3 one-offs. You can see here, top 100, 81.25, which is pretty high for this set, especially for the lowest, the lower part of the SimLabs rating. The in-the-money rate is like 28. So basically what this is saying is that the profit from this lineup, this is a profitable lineup, but most of its profit comes from like top 100 finishes and not much from cash. Like, this is a lineup that you're going for gold and you shouldn't be concerned if you come in last place, right?
So you're going to lose anyway, so you might as well go down swinging.
That's right. You're probably going to lose anyway. Can we make that your catchphrase? You've been here six years.
Happy to accept it. Yeah, I will take that.
You write your articles. Like,
it's very Cardi, you know.
You just put them first. You're probably going to lose anyways, but here are my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I should add that in. That should be part of the like template intro for sure.
Why not? You're probably going to lose. Why not listen to me? You're probably going to lose anyway.
Right. Trying to guide you in the right direction. It's not going to be, you're not going to be betting 1,000 on this stuff. So when you win, you want to win it all.
Right. So, I mean, so like I built 150 lineups using our current data for SimLabs. I can go over here to exposures. I could save any of the lineups that I want, by the way. Like I could save all of them. I could save some of them. And there's also a sync lineups to lineup HQ. I can bring them into lineup HQ. And that's what I'll do to then compare them to the bat projections. So I'll pick out a whole bunch of lineups and then like compared to the bat mean projections and ownership, I may trim lineups from there. But we see here from a pitching standpoint, getting a lot of, you see, like I said before, Yariel Rodriguez, Clark Schmidt, Garrett Crochet, Joe Ryan, Spencer Arrighetti, Matt Waldron against the Rockies, right? Not as much Jameson Taillon, not as much John Gray, not as much. Doesn't mean they can't be useful, but overwhelmingly, it seems like if you're going to play a cheap pitcher based on our sims, taking a shot on Yariel Rodriguez is probably a good thing to do. And then you could also go to this team section. And as I expected, Toronto Blue Jays, a lot of Toronto Blue Jays lineups. But here's the thing. I expected the Padres, right? I expected the Padres. I expected the Blue Jays. I didn't expect the Blue Jays overwhelmingly. But one thing, you don't see much of the Rockies. Yeah, obviously 5% Braves, I get it, because, you know, and the Yankees as well. The Minnesota Twins, 14%. I mean, I could just highlight these lineups by clicking on the team name, right? And I think this is, I mean, take a look at some of these lineups. I mean, this is one of the higher rated lineups. Essentially, I mean, this is a really contrarian lineup. Bryce Miller, Spencer Arrighetti, like, good luck. I don't think I have the balls to play this as my like single entry lineup or anything like that. But it seems like even this one is a little bit more Schmidt Gray twin stack, and then you're just essentially paying up for one-offs. Bobby Witt, Fernando Tatis. It's just that this Twins lineup is, I mean, outside of Buxton, I mean, Buxton's 4,200. We used to be paying 5,600 for Buxton. Jeffers is now batting second as opposed to, you know, seventh or eighth that he used to. I mean, I think maybe, is this just a byproduct of price? I mean, if we take a look at just the bat stack projections, right? If I go to main here, we sort by point per dollar. I mean, the bat's much lower than the RG projections are. I mean, it has, from a raw projection standpoint, the second lowest stack on the entire slate next to the White Sox. And from a point per dollar value, I mean, the bottom half. I mean, our Sims here are going by the Roto Grinders data, but I'd be more inclined. I mean, Kyle Farmer's 2,300. Christian Vack. I mean, it's weird this year, there haven't been as many teams that have like guys that are like 2,500 that really should be 3,600. It seems like they've done a much better job in keeping, you know, the cheapish hitters are still in like 3,400 where it doesn't make it like ridiculous. Where you could just build stacks.
Like Jose Abreu's like over his last 100, and he's still like 3,400. He's not 2K flat or anything like that. It's just kind of, it'll make it easy. Maybe the Twins are kind of popping as a leverage thing. Like, we think Crochet is going to be somewhat popular, and obviously smallish slate, I guess, stacking against a chalky guy like that's a little more viable than it would be on a 14 gamer, for example. So pricing is interesting. Like Miranda 3K flat, Margot 3K flat. They are pretty cheap aside from Buxton. They're also pretty bad aside from Buxton. So that's something to consider as well. Jeffers is a pretty good hitting catcher. And if he's hitting second, obviously most catchers are buried in eighth. So I can see why he's popping as one of the better plays at 4-1. It's not fun, but I can see why they might be a pretty good left deck.
Right there. I mean, but it's the Blue Jays may be more owned than we think. I mean, I came into the slate going, people will play the Padres, then they may play some Yankees or Braves or something. Maybe Astros Cubs because of last night. And it's like the Blue Jays seem too cheap for the name value of, you know, what they should be doing. Maybe other people will. Yeah. I mean, if Isaiah Kiner Falefa is going to be double digit owned, that's not a good sign. Right. That's like, I don't want to be on chalk IKF. Right. I don't want to be on chalk Kyle Farmer at 2,300. Right. That type of stuff. But yeah, but there still are profitable. I mean, look, all these lineups. I mean, the thing about SimLabs is, Taylor, last night, I made three lineups last night. I ran SimLabs like I normally would. I got a ton of Astros. Okay, that did not work out. I was getting way too much of the Diamondbacks, and I didn't know why. And because I was only playing three lineups, I just said, well, I'm playing Seattle, right? I was getting a bunch of Seattle. I'll play Seattle. I'll play the Astros. And then instead of playing the Diamondbacks, I just played the Astros twice because they came up so often because I'm like, why am I going to play the Diamondbacks? And of course, the Diamondbacks. So like I look a lot of times I look at SimLabs and I go, I'm getting a lot of Spencer Arrighetti. Why am I getting a lot of Spencer? Like I could just X these lineups out, right? And then next thing you know, he puts up like 16 points and every other pitcher dies. And it's like, maybe SimLabs know. Maybe the quote for SimLabs is when people ask, Devin, let's bring this up with the marketing team. Okay. I think we came up with a great idea. Because people don't like using computer. Like, oh, I don't want to let a computer. I don't want to let the fancy numbers build my lineups. I know baseball. You could say you should use SimLabs because you're probably going to lose anyway.
There you go. If you're going to lose, you might as well lose. Blame it on the computer, right?
Right. Just sign up for Roto Grinders Premium. 6 months, $250 off. That's a great deal. You could try us out for $19.99 for 3 days, right? What else do you have to lose? You're probably going to lose anyway, right? You're probably going to lose anyway. So why not try?
And now is better. There's never been a better time. We have literally any price point you need. You can get in on RG Premium.
Right. You could lose in any price point you'd like.
Marketing team's gonna have something to say about this episode.
Right, yeah, right. We have to switch it. Right. It's the whole thing is the probably gonna lose is based on your before using Roto Grinders. It's like
exactly,
like, dude, you're probably gonna lose. So why not at least try to use the tools and data that we have rather than your process that has not worked out for you before? That's the sentiment behind it.
Yeah, but
it probably comes off with. Sign up for Roto Grinders. You're probably going to lose anyway. And people will just look at that.
Yeah, we'll just blame
Taylor on it. He's the one that made it up.
There you go. Now we have our scapegoat.
I can be the scapegoat. Yeah, throw me under the bus.
First show.
It's baseball though. Like if you go, you know, you can play all the chalk in NBA all you want. Obviously, in baseball, it doesn't really work that way. So, I'm much more inclined to embrace something like a Twin Stack or Spencer Arrighetti or Matt Waldron in baseball than I would be, you know, playing the equivalent of those guys in NBA or NFL even, for example. So that's like particular for baseball, I think is very useful.
People's favorite thing to do is to jump on our channels and say, oh, don't play these guys. They're going to get zeros. And I say, well, in baseball, that's never been more right. Never feel like you have to play somebody.
No, Aaron Judge gets zero 30% of the time, probably. Maybe a little bit high there, but you get the idea. There's every floor is zero. Median expectations not much higher than that.
I see a comment in YouTube chat. Will we be covering the early slate? Probably not on this show, just the 3-gamer, but we'll have the 7-gamer covered later, 5 p.m. Eastern.
Right. This in the morning, we just take a look at, you know, more people are paying attention to the late slate. Taylor, I don't know what state you're in, but I don't know if you have any props, pick'em stuff, or out in the West, maybe not as many options for that.
Yeah. I'm in California, so we don't have legal betting out here. So Prize Picks it is for us out here.
Do you have any Prize Picks that you're looking at that you have already?
I haven't quite looked yet. I did pull it up. I use the Prize Picks tool, obviously, almost exclusively. I think it's quite handy. I will have a Prize Picks article up later about tonight's playoff NBA slate. So shout out to the NBA, but yeah, I see Jake Urban popping in some early Prize Picks stuff in our tool. So at least they're unders on Jake Urban. So we're not having to sweat his overs or anything against the Dodgers.
Right. I mean, right now, I mean, if I were to build a Prize Pick slip right now using our Pick'em tool, as well as the bat projections, I mean, I already have, Taylor, guess how many bets I currently have in now, and it's 11:51 in the morning.
15. I'm not sure what your normal volume would be. Far more than that.
Yeah, that. It's a light day so far because I've been waiting longer for hitting props, but right now 66.
Oh. Yeah, that's quite a bit more than 15.
Yeah, my average for a day this size with hockey as well as baseball will be somewhere close to 150.
Yeah, undershot it by just a few.
By a lot, yes. Because I spam volume, so like I'm doing anywhere from $10 to $150 on these, depending on the edges, depending on the markets, depending on the times. Like right now, I wouldn't be betting heavy on strikeout props. Although, like last night before I went to bed, that's when I'm getting. Right now I'm looking right here. Clark Schmitz. Right now, the best number in market is under 6.5 plus 108, and that's on FanDuel, and that still shows according to the bat to be plus EV. Well, let me tell you, I got Clark Schmidt under 7.5 at plus 110. And that was 10 hours ago.
Not too shabby.
Right. So most of the numbers that I'm looking at now, it's like I've gotten a better price on nearly all of them. But on Prize Picks, you could You could finagle something. I mean, if we let's put together a prize picks card because we don't do this enough on this show before we get out of here. So you have NBA. I know you work on NBA. So can you give us something that you'd take for NBA today?
Let me pull this up real quick. So let's see. Miami's playing Oklahoma City, Boston, New Orleans.
Because according to our prize picks pick'em tool that I will not put on the screen because I don't do that anymore. Because I don't want people just copying the stuff and just like, dude, you have to be a premium member. I don't want to give away premium content. The top one here, I mean, Bam, more than 13.5 rebounds and assists. We also have this Larry Nance one. I don't want to deal with the center situation for the Pelicans. That's going to be high bear. Depending on your opinion on JoVal versus Larry Nance, those numbers could be flipped. So, like, to me, I don't even like. It depends on how many minutes you project for each guy, but the highest outside of that is Bam rebounds and assists 13.5 more. But of course, you know, there are like 14-point underdogs. And then you got Brandon Ingram, more than 24.5 points and rebounds. I mean, are these the ones that you're looking at also?
Yeah, I think the Pelican, like I'm much more inclined to target that game. New Orleans and OKC, smaller spread. I don't have any faith in Miami to keep that close against Boston again. CJ McCollum, fantasy score is one of them, 35. You know, no Zion for them. Usage is through the roof for CJ and higher for Ingram as well. Oklahoma City's not really an imposing one seed, so I do think New Orleans can keep it competitive again. You mentioned the Ingram one. I think that's okay. I have more faith in McCollum. Ingram's minutes are a little bit, I think they're somewhat safe, but they have shown that they're willing to bench him if things aren't going well, and I think CJ is pretty stable. I agree on the centers. Like JoVal is also in here. Not really dying to do that. Trey Murphy, more than 31.5 fantasy points. Don't know one either. Starting was down out. Minutes for him have been pretty safe. He's a good fantasy per minute guy anyway. That's what I would have.
Evan Holmgren more than 9 rebounds.
That's not bad. He's not the best rebounder for a 7-2 guy or whatever he is, but minutes should be secure also, obviously, in the playoffs. OKC, not a good rebounding team. New Orleans is pretty middle of the pack. I don't hate that.
That's not. I'm probably, you should have said, you're probably going to lose anyway, so why not take?
Yeah, I put the words right in my mouth there. Let's see what else.
I'm going to take that. Then I could go over to baseball. I mean, I don't have to take poll. I mean, we're making like a community. I want to take 5. If your contribution was CJ McCollum, I could go over to baseball right now. And even just for the strikeout props, which probably aren't the biggest edge ones right now. I mean, I think the best ones on the board, if I just compare, even just to the market numbers, just like, you know, what the best price in market is, because you're looking for like minus 120s or better. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, we obviously mentioned, Jake Irvin's here. It's like Jake Irvin should be good. The best in market is minus 120. And I have that as showing an edge as minus 120. Right. So that's kind of what we're looking at. Is there a Turnbull one? Turnbull, that's another one. Best in market is minus 113. And I still show that with an edge at 113, a hefty one. At 113, so I'm going to take Irvin, Turnbull. Let's see, what else is here? The big ones. Do we have a tie on one? I don't think we have a tie on. I mean, a regular tie on one. I'm not talking about the demons and the goblins. Like, they don't pay enough on these things. Like it would the line would have to be so significantly off that it's worth playing these. So I don't even pay attention to them on Prize Picks. But no, the tie-on one is not there. Let's see. Lodolo, Low to low is minus. I mean, you could do less than seven is okay. And that's an okay one. Is there anything else? Is there do we get a Landon Knack one? No. Bryce Wilson, Bryce Miller. No. Landon Knack. Jordan Montgomery's under four. What do we have, a Montgomery one? And that's okay.
How about Schmidt?
Well, Schmidt's, it's already moved. I mean, at this point, less than seven. I mean, less than seven is okay. Mm-hmm. This is okay. I would consider less than, because I mean, the market right now has the over 6.5 at minus 138. Obviously bad projections have him at 6.32. So this should be, I mean, if this was 7.5, I'd click this, no problem. But this is about the same as taking Jordan Montgomery's under, you know, less than 4.5. But if you want to take, if you want me to take Schmidt, I'll do this for $25. And if I lose, I'll just blame you.
You're going to lose anyway. You can always blame
I'm probably going to lose anyway. So why not? Okay, there we go. That's you sold me. See, you sold me. It's like, you're probably going to lose anyway. So, okay. So
there
that's
you go.
Right, 25.
It's actually a positive. It's like positive reinforcement. Like, well, I'm going to lose anyway. So if I win, I'm pleasantly surprised. And right. Yeah, successful day.
And a man with low expectations.
Right.
So Taylor, you got a Prize Picks article coming out later today for NBA. What other stuff do you got going on this week, premium or otherwise? Because you're also on the shows later tonight. You don't, right? You don't have to wake up at 8 a.m. for those.
Correct. I will be, I think I'm on crunch time tonight. Friday I have another Prize Picks NBA article, also the DraftKings kind of preview for MLB. And then on weekends is core plays for NBA, top stacks for baseball, and more crunch time. So weekends is kind of where I'm still doing most of my work.
Well, you can check that out. A lot of premium content. Clicking on that link in the description. Remember, we're running a deal now. 6 months of premium. Get $250 off. That's ridiculous, right? We also have the props and pick 'em duel and the package. So if you just want it for that, I mean, I think that's way too cheap. Join our Discord, rotogrinders.com/Discord. Most of those channels are free. It's like we're giving away stuff here. Why are we doing that? I have no idea. I'm not in charge. Obviously, if I was in charge of the marketing, you're probably going to lose anyway. So why not sign up? So maybe that's the reason why I'm not in charge of the marketing. But you can click the thumbs up button. That is free. That is free. Hit the thumbs up button. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the notification bell to know when we go live. Grinders live later today, 5 o'clock Eastern, and then followed immediately by crunch time. I'll be back tomorrow. We got Grinders live. It won't be this show. I'll be on with Dean. I believe Keith is on tomorrow. We have an early slate. It's Thursday, so it's mostly day baseball. So you will get me then, and then on Friday we'll take a look at the MMA slate. So Taylor, first show with me. But you can thumbs up or thumbs in the middle.
Thumbs up, all thumbs up, baby, all the time.
All thumbs up. So until next time, I'll be back here talking about all things you're thinking about in daily fantasy props and pick 'em. On Roto Grinders today.